Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O-Rock.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, I should not have taken a long pause.
The one time I don't do the pause in the intro. How dare you?
Whoops.
How's it going, Michael?
Fine, I guess. I hope I sound okay during this podcast. I think I should be fine. Oh. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I was wondering if you wanted to talk about the incident at all.
I was involved in, like, a car crash style incident, and so I'm still not sure. Gosh, I even forget the word. Whatever the... Disoriented!
Oh, no.
That's it. So I might get disoriented at times. But, you know, it's hard to tell, as the doctor's like, well, you're just gonna hurt a lot, and you're gonna be really tired all the time. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound any different from normal.
Yeah, we're in our 30s. That's just what it's like now.
Yeah. Oh. Also, just I have noticed myself being more disoriented. But on the other hand, I don't know. I feel like I forget words more often than normal because I'm old and stuff. So that too.
Oh. See, that's why we edit the podcast, though. So whenever any of us blanks on something, the listener has no idea.
That's actually really good. I honestly do not listen to the podcasts. I
didn't think you did. No,
I'm in the podcasts. So yeah.
No, there's a lot of post production work where I edit out awkward pauses and stuff like that, so the listener doesn't get to enjoy parts where one of us says something and then the other one thinks about it for like 30 seconds before figuring out what to say, because we both do that a lot. But I'm glad to hear you seem to be doing okay, at least.
Yeah.
It sounds like that was really scary, so I'm personally very grateful it, you know, wasn't worse, I guess.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's not great, though.
Yeah. It's on and off, I suppose. I was great Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday? That's not how the days of the week go. Tuesday through Thursday,
I was fine.
And then on Friday, I tried watching TV. I just binge watched. And then Saturday, Sunday, I was kind of totally out of it. So I guess I wasn't ready for watching TV for 8 hours or however much I watched.
What were you watching, if I may ask?
The Peacemaker, that John Cena show on the John Cena superhero show. Yeah, very much adult only, though, so it's like out of character for me to watch something with so much swearing and such.
Yeah,
I think that will, yeah,
good time to watch it, though, if no one else was around,
basically. Yeah,
well, it's been a pretty interesting month for us, video game wise.
It's been an amazing month, actually. I feel kind of upset that I've been missing so much of what happened.
Yeah, that's right, because you haven't been on social media all that much since the incident. And I think you were already taking a break from social media anyway, so you kind of had like a double break.
I mean, social media was kind of really terrible. I'm glad I took the break when I decided to.
Sure.
Probably, yeah. I was going to ask, how have people been doing online? But I'm guessing they haven't changed one bit because it's
no,
the internet.
It hasn't been long enough. You're going to have to wait, you know, 50, 60, 800 years before things get better.
Okay. I don't know if we made like a joke. We probably made a joke along this line somewhere in the cat president, but I noticed that it's like you'll have a person who has just the one thing they really care about, like, I don't know, trains or something, and every single one of their like Twitter posts somehow relates to trains. It's like, well, the president said something, they changed the subject to trains and such like that. I don't know why I use trains as the example, but...
Which is ironic, because I believe the current president is, in fact, a big fan of trains.
He is a big fan of trains. Maybe that's why I brought it up, because I noticed it's one of those things like he'll just bring up all the time if you just let him. And ice cream, too.
Yeah, here in Ithaca, at the Cornell Dairy, we, at least at one point, we might still have this, had an ice cream flavor named for him. I think before he was president. I could be wrong, but it was like he stopped by here to give a talk or something, and we named an ice cream after him, and there was a big photo op with him eating it here. Though I guess now that I've seen all the photo ops of him eating ice cream all across the country, it doesn't really seem as special as it once did.
He just came by because he was told there was ice cream. He didn't actually know it was like a political stop at all.
To be fair, there is a lot of really good ice cream in this area. So, I mean, if he's doing an ice cream tour, Ithaca, New York is the place to stop.
I understand. Yeah, that's where ice cream historically has been located.
Yeah, well, we got lots of dairy farms in the area. Lots of homemade ice cream.
Yeah, I guess I was referring to, like, the ability to freeze things. Ice cream had to come from places like New York and Canada, where it was cold enough, where it made a bit more sense that you'd actually have some ice around. I don't know if that makes
sense.
Sure. Yeah.
But then, like, is that the sort of climate you want to be eating ice cream in, though, if it's already that cold to begin with? Like, because ice cream is such a summer thing.
You know, that is a good question, because I don't know why we're talking about ice cream instead of our games or something. The podcast about eating ice cream and making ice cream.
I mean, I could tell you about the ice cream my wife just made last weekend.
Oh my, that actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, she made some homemade black raspberry ice cream from black raspberries that she had harvested from our yard last year that we'd frozen. That's all. And a couple months ago, we made pine needle ice cream. That was a disaster. Anyway, what's the thing you were going to say?
Oh, no, you mentioned ice cream being sort of like a seasonal thing. I know, okay, I've been told that in Poland they have ice cream year-round, but that's because it doesn't get warm enough in summer for it to be like, oh, sure. Wow, it's really warm. Let's get some ice cream. But I do know that the ice cream stores... I do wonder how they managed to survive during the winter, because my favorite ice cream store did not survive the winter, but it seems that some of them managed to.
Yeah, we do have a few places here that are open year-round, but a lot of them also just shut down for the winter. I don't know what they're doing in that time. Maybe they're in their labs cooking up new ice cream flavors.
Yeah, my question is, how do they actually not get, like, evicted during the 6 months where they're not doing anything? They just hope nobody comes in and buys the store, or is there like a wintertime only business that takes over for the other 6 months of the year? Like back rubs for hibernating bears or something? I don't know. What would a winter business be? No man hat store?
I was going to say Christmas trees, but I suppose back rubs for hibernating bears is also a possibility.
Yeah, the Santas. That would make more sense.
How do we get into that business? We actually do have bears in the area, so who knows? Should we talk about video games at some point, or what do you say?
I don't know. Yeah, video games. We had big video game news, and I think you were able to promote the video game news, and I did less promotion of video game news, which is sad, but also some of it was super exciting, too.
Yeah, so we have our very first console release. The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World is now available on Switch. It's on the PlayStations. It's on all the Xboxes. You can play it, like, everywhere now. It's really cool. And we didn't have to do, like, any work to make it happen, so that's even better. For the very first time in Oorok Studios history, we worked with a publisher who took care of the porting process for us, which, of course, does mean that if anyone listening has any questions about how to port games to consoles, we will not be able to answer them.
Well, I understand, but that's part of the benefit of RenPy, is it's very easy to port to consoles. or at least it can port to... I don't even know what Linux is, but I'm told RenPy is really good at porting to it.
Oh, sure. Our games are all by default on PC, Mac, and Linux. I put all those builds on Steam just when I create a build of the game. RenPy just does all that automatically.
Yeah, it's good with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of been the big excitement this month. So I guess you haven't been following on social media, as you said. So I will say I haven't seen a lot of like new reviews of the game coming up. But whenever I do a search for the game on Twitter, what I see now is like a billion posts from people who have like automated things to set up to post whenever they unlock an achievement in a game. So now there's just a ton of social media posts. It's like, I unlocked the platinum trophy in the Pizza Delivery Boy on PlayStation. And some of them are literally just like, I started playing the Pizza Delivery Boy. I finished playing the Pizza Delivery Boy.
Nice.
And there's like all these different guides for how to unlock all the trophies and achievements, which are kind of hysterical because if that's what you're after, you can pretty much just speed run through the game, and I think a lot of these videos are 3 minutes. You can do it in 3 minutes to get all the achievements if that's all you're interested in. Apparently that's a big selling point on consoles.
Isn't that the game where you can pick a specific name for the main character to get an achievement?
You can. Okay, so that actually goes into one of the things I was going to talk about with this game, which is stuff that we changed for the console release.
Oh.
And that I think that was one of them. We made a few changes to achievements, and I believe we got rid of the joke achievement for naming your character John Cena.
Okay.
We also got rid of the achievement for, what was it, clicking on our social media icons on the main menu, because the publisher asked us to remove the social media icons from the main menu. So the game has a few fewer achievements than the Steam release as a result. I think the ones that are in there are basically just all the ones for choosing various options in the game.
I understand that people have been having a hard time with literally the worst at pizza, that achievement where you mess up the pizza slicing game. I think there are 3 levels of that game, and I just saw a bunch of people are having trouble with that.
Really? I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, when I searched for the Pizza Delivery Boy, that was like one of the 2 things I saw. The other thing I saw was what my wife commented on, was the rating. She said, it's just like, oh man, it's got an average rating of like 1.83 out of 5. And then it had like 97% thumbs up rate. So I'm like, wait a minute, those 2 don't even kind
this?
Of match.
What was this on? Where did you see this?
Whenever I looked on my phone at the airport the other day.
I'm extremely offended by whatever website this was. I didn't see this at all. Now I have to find it. Who dares?
I don't know. I assume that was one of those strange... I don't know how Metacritic works, but... I was guessing that it's like, okay, well, the people who played the game give it, like, 93% of the people give it a thumbs up, but I guess maybe the super critics don't like it? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I suspect, too, we're seeing a bit of, you know how, like, we get a sort of bias against us within the visual novel community because we don't have... a traditional art style. I think that there's also a bias against visual novels as a whole in the gaming community as a whole from the people who don't think they're real video games. So I think we're kind of getting hit on both like the macro and micro level there, as it were. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those negative ratings are from people who, like, for example, are just playing through to get the quick achievements, but they're like, actually, this isn't a real video game. This is crap.
This is just a book, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, whatever. I mean, they still paid for the game, so... I'm happy I could boost your gamer score, I guess.
It's weird, because... I mean, coming up with achievements is kind of difficult, sort of to the point where it's like, is it really worth it? But there are people who care.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's the same thing with, like, trading cards, right? It might not be something that we are interested in, but it's the sort of thing that if we add it to a game, more people will buy the game as like a direct result of this kind of silly thing. So, you know, whatever.
Don't we need...
give people what they want, I guess.
Yeah, don't we need like a specific amount of...
You mean like the achievement? Oh.
Yeah, yeah, achievement, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm not sure what it is on PlayStation, not on Xbox. You have to have like a it's like each game has a gamer score of 1,000 points. And I don't think I think the publisher just sort of assigned point values to all the achievements. I don't think we did that. I don't recall. And then on PlayStation, there's like a platinum trophy that you get if you get all the other trophies, and then the other trophies are assigned values like gold, silver, and bronze.
Interesting, yeah.
And there's probably some sort of guideline you're supposed to follow on how many gold, how many bronze, etc. you have. But we didn't have to worry about that either. This is why this is such a great project. We didn't have to do much of anything.
We did have a couple of changes, though, like the different ending, unless I'm mistaken.
Yes.
That's sort of the big
thing. You are not mistaken. Yeah, we came up with a new, you wrote it, a new post-credit scene that is exclusive to the console release of the Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World. Just a little bonus for anyone who might have played the original Steam release and is also checking this one out, sort of a thank you to those people. Victoria was apparently very surprised by it. I must not have told her that we did that. Victoria, being the model who played one of the main characters, Finley.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think she, for the Steam release, we got like a special picture of her for the ending, the post-credit scene. Right, and I don't think that's used.
Is it? It might be in this one too. So that's the funny thing. So for you all listening at home, like this game just came out, but we did our work on this. Like this, I mean, this has been like a year long process. So we finished all the stuff we needed to do on our end. Like I think it was like in May last year. I just saw. So this isn't all quite.
It is definitely
super
May.
Fresh,
yeah,
in our
yeah,
minds.
Yeah. It was May, and then. Yeah. I don't know if we had to sign, like, an NDA or something like that. That could be why we weren't... Are we allowed to talk about the game now that it's out?
We definitely can now. I'm not even sure there was a big NDA. It was more just... I generally feel kind of hesitant to talk about projects that far in advance, or especially projects that I have no idea when or even if they're going to come out. Like, it feels weird to me. But then... The release also ended up kind of coming out of nowhere, so maybe it would have been good if we had been talking about it a little in advance. But anyway, yeah, so that was one of the big things we did, is that Michael wrote and I programmed a new post-credit scene for the game where Doug is going on a blind date, I believe, at the pizza restaurant sometime after the events of the game.
Yes, I have the... Whatever you call it, the first version of the I did not update my files on my computer for it, so I wanted Mr. Ami to sort of appear in the post credit scene, but he does not appear in the post credit scene. It's very sad.
Oh, did I kick Mr. Ami out?
I think he got cut out. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I see. This is like
you can,
okay.
You can blame me if you want. That's fine.
It was 11-10. Months ago.
Yeah, I was looking at the emails earlier today. We went back and forth through a lot of revisions for this one tiny scene.
Yeah, it's
it took
like
us
two
kind
pages.
Of a while to yeah. land on something that we were both happy with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at the email. We must have been like really grouchy at the time, because all our responses are how's this, okay, I had a few thoughts, and then I made some changes, and then your turn. And then another draft, and then your turn again. Why is this so hard? took us a little while at this point. I don't know what was going on in May that we were being so yeah.
Oh, anyway. May 2021. Something terrible must have been going on, I'm sure.
Probably pandemic related.
Just 2021. Everything was terrible. Yeah.
And looking at this email thread too, I'm reminded that so besides the new post-credit scene, we also had to make a few changes throughout the script. We're generally pretty careful about not using copywritten names or images in our games, but the publisher did want us to change the... We had some references to Star Wars and Stranger Things in, like, one scene, so we ended up rewriting that to make it a little more generic.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it was the scene was dangerously close to getting dated as well, because the original line was so this is Doug describing what he did with his future self who had time traveled into the past. So Doug's talking about how my future self and I watched Stranger Things for a bit, but he ruined it for me by talking about the series finale 3 years from now. What a jerk. After that, we went online and gave all the good spoilers for the upcoming Star Wars movie. Can you believe Jar Jar was Luke's real father all along? Not many people believed us, but once it's released, they'll think we're the best guessers ever.
I remember there was, like, an original draft of that joke, which is, like, Anakin is not the father, or something like that.
Oh, God. And it was originally Game of Thrones also.
That's
not
right,
Stranger Things, but I think, like,
the Game of Thrones ending came out that year, right?
Yeah. So we didn't want the game to already be dated, like, when it was released.
Okay, yeah. Game of Thrones finale was May 2019, and the game came out 2018. So, yeah, the finale was close enough, I suppose.
So, I don't know, I can read the new lines, or should I save that for people to enjoy and find for themselves?
I've already forgotten what the new lines are. We can do that.
All right.
We probably went back and forth
on
it.
So, yeah, the line about...
It sounds great.
No, see, this scene, I think we went pretty quick. It was the post-credit scene we were grouchy about. This one we nailed right away. The line about Stranger Things got changed to, my future self and I binged a bunch of TV shows that were no longer available in this era because the streaming services had been shut down, which I kind of like that, because this was like, I think when we were writing this is on the heels of things like CISO and Quibi getting shut down and all of those shows that were on those services just like evaporating into nothing. So I thought that was kind of appropriate. And I mean, it's pretty easy to see something like that too, you know, a future 20 years from now where like Netflix and Hulu have merged, Disney Plus is gone, and like there's just a ton of shows that are available right now that are no longer available. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I know there's, I think on TV Tropes they call it keep circulating the tapes, which is the trope for a show that just can't possibly be released either on like, you know, DVD or on streaming.
Right.
Especially the, like, old shows, that it's just impossible to get the rights, I guess streaming rights for those shows, too.
And then for the other line about Star Wars spoilers, that got changed to, after that, we messed around on social media for a bit, and he was pleasantly surprised by how nice everyone is compared to how they are in the future. Yikes.
Oh, man. We just made that joke at the start of this
kinda
podcast.
Kind of goes well with what we... Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's definitely the joke. It's just as bad as things are right now in future Doug's time, they're somehow like a magnitude worse. Just, which feels also like a pretty real prediction to me. So like I said, some script changes, and there were a few. There was a background image too. The scene in Doug's living room. You know, the scene where it would, like the one where he has all those framed pictures of pizzas on the wall. That background.
Yeah.
In the Steam version, there was like a Wii U and a 3DS visible in the background. So I edited those out for the console release. So nobody would get in trouble over that. Pretty minor stuff, but
yeah, I do like how he's got like a donut pillow there. It's the best.
I love that donut pillow. I mean, that was my living room in my apartment in California. It's the same apartment that the second Awkward Steve game was filmed in. Don't Turn Your Back on the Ocean. I think that donut pillow actually appears in that as well, just because I love it so much.
Yeah, so that. I feel like the interesting, or no, the crazy news was, like, we're on, like, Nintendo.com, right?
Yeah. But yeah, that is pretty cool. I think you had made a post on Facebook, I think, about how much your childhood self would have been impressed by that.
Yeah. It would have been pretty amazing. Yeah. It is amazing. Yeah, it took me a while to realize that, because I'd forgotten that, almost forgotten the game had come out, or was planning to come out.
Well, like I was saying, too, I mean, we didn't get, like, a huge notice. I think we got, like, a week's notice that it was coming out. So, I mean, it was almost as out of nowhere for us as it was for the people listening to this right now.
Yeah, no, that was just cool. And then the other video game news. Do we have other video game news?
Well, I was just going to say that the Lost Oregon City Gold is finished, and it's coming out in a couple weeks. Speaking of game releases.
Yeah, I
big,
think I
big
sent
year for us.
I sent you like 5 changes, I suppose. Sorry
yes.
about that. Earlier today.
No, not a problem. I need to upload at least one more build anyway to take care of a couple minor things. So,
okay.
I saw in your email that the changes don't look like they're not like big changes. So I can dash those off and
there's like
upload
a
the
I think it was scene bonus 23_2. I accidentally had that twice instead of _2 and then followed by _3. So dumb copy pasting mistake.
Yep, and yeah, we had a couple capitalization inconsistencies, so really, really major stuff. Really huge game-breaking glitches.
Yeah, no, it's just big news. We've got a release date for the Lost Oregon City Gold. That's pretty exciting that the game is this close.
Yeah, April the 12th. Jeez, so if we include Pizza Boy, that's going to be our, third release in, 4 months. Right, because Too Many Santas was at the end of December.
Yeah. Well, people really do seem to be treating Pizza Boy as like a totally different new thing, too. Which, it's okay, you could get it on computer, but still, I mean, I guess the people who haven't heard of it, the computer version, to them, it just seems like a totally new, big, different thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are. I think we're just, kind of reaching a different audience on the consoles than we were on the Steam releases. So I think yeah, it is reaching people who had not heard of the game before. So as far as I know, it is brand new, which works totally fine for me.
Yeah, I mean, getting new people to buy our games is great. If people want to just buy the same game twice on different things, that's great too. Like if you have a Mac and a PC and you want to buy our games, all of our games for both, just feel free. We will not stop you.
Don't listen to Michael. If you bought it on Steam, you already have it on both. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. So if you would set up a second Steam account.
Man, that would be
kind of
cool if there was a way to... Yeah. There should be a way to buy something for all systems simultaneously. That would be cool. But yeah, three games in 4 months, three releases in 4 months, I should say. That's pretty big, and it's going to be interesting because I hope this isn't too disappointing for me to say, but we don't have any games coming out anytime soon after Oregon City.
Yes.
As far as I know, we're not very far in any other projects at the current moment.
Yeah, I meant to email you something, but then I didn't. Oh well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're good for now. If we don't release anything else till the end of the year, I think we've done all right.
And I can say it's sort of been a relief to delete the hundreds upon hundreds of Oregon City photos off of my phone. I feel like, oh man, hey, I've got my phone has so much more space on it now. What happened?
Here's a question for you. I have no idea how well Pizza Boy on consoles is selling. There was someone on Twitter who was like, who said they want to see a sequel now. Have we talked about this before? What a sequel to this game would even look like? Would it be like the pizza delivery boy who saves the universe? Would it be?
Oh, wow.
Or I guess he wouldn't be a pizza delivery boy anymore. Yeah. Like, how would a sequel even work? Because this isn't a game that really lends itself to a franchise in the same way that Cat President did, for example.
Definitely.
I mean, it's a very kind of beginning to end story. There's not really an open ending that leads itself naturally to a sequel.
I was gonna say one would be the post credit scene for the original Steam release.
Mm.
That seemed to be like a sequel bait joke thing. Yeah, that was the only idea I had. That
yeah.
It's like that, and sort of like Back to the Future 2, our character gets taken to the alternate evil future where, with President Ami, the villain has taken over the world.
Man, I don't think that guy's on Fiverr anymore. I don't know if I could get him to take new pictures.
Oh, no.
That could be tough. Because I think I was looking into it before for maybe Oregon City Trail, right? Because one of the characters didn't have Mr. Ami as a placeholder image at one point.
Yes, I think so.
I think I was actually looking into it to see if he was still around and I couldn't find him.
Oh, no. How sad. Yeah.
I guess we could always make it like Mr. Ami's son or something.
Yeah, no, his daughter, because wasn't the big plot twist going to be that Olivia is his daughter? Spoilers for the sequel we're not making.
Was it?
That's going to be the plot twist in the sequel.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we only refer to the person as... That's why Finley, in like the ending, says President Ami is causing problems.
Ah.
Well, I thought the other idea for...
I'm not sure I knew that.
The other idea I floated for a sequel was, like, Doug tries to find out what happened to the one coworker he actually did like, but who, for whatever reason, did not appear in the first game.
Yes. Let's just turn it into... Let's use it as, like, a backdoor pilot for Francie Drew. It just turns into a Francie Drew mystery game.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's not something we're actually seriously considering at this moment. Just something that had come up.
Yeah, I'm not sure what our criteria is for whether or not something deserves a sequel or not. Well, I guess we'll find out when we see what the sales for Pizza Delivery Boy are. So.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, if the game sells well, maybe the publisher would be interested in exploring some of our other games, too. I mean, we have a lot of them. Oh, maybe instead of a Pizza Boy sequel, they'd be interested in porting some more of our games.
I think usually with game sales, you want to wait like 3 months anyway, because the first 2 months tend to be hyperinflated sales. Is that it? Yeah, I could be wrong.
I think it might even be shorter than that. Like on Steam, we see our most like sales within like the first week, and then it stops dropping off pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I would buy that too.
But I don't. At this moment, have direct access to the sales figures. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, so I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Like I said, we haven't released a game on consoles before, so I have no idea how this is going to do. It'll be interesting. Let's see. Any? Did you have any other video game news this month that you wanted to talk about?
I did. So I've been working on Pride and Prejudice and Murder. So this is
awesome.
Sort of, I guess, a sequel to The Courting of Miss Bennet. I've been doing it with Abigail.
Oh, Abigail Fuller?
Okay. Yeah. She is in The Lost Oregon City Gold as well, because she just, I think she does Regency cosplay. So specifically in the Oregon City Gold, she's dressed in like an 1800s costume. And so naturally she knows about Pride and Prejudice. She and I guess both kind of enjoy reading terrible Pride and Prejudice sequels and books and stuff like that. So we basically got together and outlined what a Pride and Prejudice and Murder would be like. The premise is, the original book ends with the two main characters getting engaged. And so the premise of the game is that, hey, it's the big wedding day and somebody ends up dead and you kind of have to solve the murder mystery before the wedding can take place. And we have 3 to 4 different pathways with different culprits. And we sort of split it up half and half. So it's really interesting because some of this stuff was just old, if that makes sense. So like I'd written the Wickham pathway, it looks like August 18th, 2019. So I'd completely forgotten about it. And one of the comments I was going to say, I was worried that it might end up feeling weird because two different people wrote different pathways. I was hoping it wouldn't be super obvious and apparent that there are different authors for different chapters or different pathways. But I noticed her pathway sort of started with a joke about Mr. Collins having horrible snoring. And I'm like, oh, okay, that checks out. That fits in with what I've written. So he's one of those characters everybody likes to make fun of.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, actually, because I feel like a lot of bigger visual novels, actually, like, not like indie stuff, but like stuff made by big companies that have the resources to hire a bunch of writers, I think a lot of them actually do have like writers working on like each individual pathway, each like individual character that you can romance. I think a lot of those like kind of work independently like that. So
it's not totally
it's
interesting
wild.
Because how do they handle it when other characters appear in the pathway, I guess. So, like, you
know, great question.
I think that might have been like one review of Cat President, where somebody notices, like, okay, in the DJ Nibbles pathway, wow, Rover seems like a totally different character. And it's like, there's a reason for that. I wrote Rover's pathway after writing the DJ Nibbles pathway, and so I had no idea what Rover's personality was yet.
Well, we even make it a, you made it a point in the bonus pathway of Cat President, to, you mentioned how the main character personality changes quite a bit from pathway to pathway, like how she's loses a lot of brain cells in one of the pathways, and
Rover's
then in
pathway.
One of the other ones, her friend is kind of the dumb one, and these things happen, I guess. So I don't know. I just wonder if that means that people reading the game will be more forgiving of it than maybe you would think, just because it's something that they're familiar with, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that's the case. I just thought it is funny how completely independent of each other we both make jokes at the expense of this character, Mr. Collins. And I'm like, oh, I don't think she read my stuff ahead of time. I don't think she knows I made quite a bit of fun of him.
And that's funny.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, so how has that process been working? Like, Do you write like your entire pathway and then like go back and read what she's written, or is it like you guys, you know, write a little bit and then check over each other's stuff? How's that working out? What's the process like?
It was strange. So gosh, the first three chapters are sort of like the intro, I guess. I mean, at the end of chapter three, that's where the game splits up into four different pathways, and so. Mm-hmm. We always decided, okay, I'll just write two of the pathways and she'll write two of the pathways. Well, then how do we split up the first three intro chapters in half? And it was, I wrote chapter three in the first half of chapter one, and then she wrote like the second half of chapter one, and then the chapter two. And I know there were a couple things, problems we ran into. Like, I had Charlotte as a narrator when I wrote the first half of chapter one, and that didn't mesh with what she wanted at the end of chapter one, because at the end of chapter one, the victim gets killed, and it's like, no, we need a character who's not, because Charlotte is, like, one of the pathways, and I think she's one of the culprits, I suppose. I don't know if that's a spoiler
okay.
or not.
Right, so then you wouldn't want her to be the narrator if she's one of the suspects.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, in one of the pathways, she's actually close to the victim where the victim dies or such like that.
Yeah.
So I had to switch the narrator to somebody else. I just switched to, like, third person, no narrator whatsoever. But that tripped up the beta testers, or at least the people who played through chapter one. They didn't quite understand. They're like, okay, who's the narrator? I can't figure it out. And I think I also used like a gratuitous like, okay, dear reader, let's see what happens next. I did a phrase like that, and I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
that confused people. It's like, who's talking right now? It's like, well, obviously it's the author, not the narrator, because there is no narrator at this point. I don't know. So it made sense in my head, but not them.
Yeah.
Also, the other, I think, major issue was Georgiana's pearls, which are a clue in one of the pathways, but it's found in chapter three. But in her, like, Anne pathway, the narrator discovers this clue. I'm like, well, no, I'd already put that in chapter number three. That's a continuity error. So we had to switch it. But anyway, and,
how are you kind of like managing the workflow? Like, are you emailing like Word documents back and forth, or are you just kind of writing it all in like a Google Doc kind of thing, or how's that working?
Yeah, it was all in Google Doc.
Yeah, so you can kind of like peek in on the other person's story mm-hmm. and dialogue and kind of see where they're at and what they're doing.
Yeah, so basically when she finished writing it, I took the stuff and then programmed it. That worked because it gave me an opportunity to like review what had been written at the same time that I was, you know, programming in choices and such, programming in puzzles.
I'm happy to hear that seems to be progressing pretty well. That's cool.
And if you want me to send anything about the next games or whatever, I'll try to get that done tonight and send it your way mm-hmm. too.
We'll get there when we get there. I know you're pretty busy right now.
Yeah, I've got to catch up on stuff because I wasn't allowed to look at a computer for the last 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, no. Don't worry about it. I've been keeping myself busy.
I've got like 4 Goosebumps reviews to do, man. Actually, yeah.
Absolutely no rush. I've been doing a lot of my own writing, and I actually started coding the game that I've been writing too. That's been fun. I actually have a working point and click adventure inventory system in my game now. I figured it out. I did it. I cracked the code.
Yes. What system are you using? Is that?
I'm using RenPy.
What? You've got to tell me how to do that for the.
I did. It's all screens.
Screens.
I have code that says you have this item, and then you go into a screen, and it checks to see if you have this item, and if you do, it adds an icon for the item on the screen. If you click on the item, it turns your cursor into that item, and then you can go back and use that on different things in the main game. It took a bit of testing to get it to work, but it's pretty much there, and I'm so happy about it. This game is not going to be finished for several years, so that's why I'm not talking about it too much. But I was so pleased with myself for getting the adventure game inventory thing working.
Well, that is farther than like the escape room game ever went. So
yes, to give you another idea of how far I've gotten. So writing wise, the first path, the intro and first pathway are done. The second pathway is a third to a half done out of 3 pathways. So, and coding, I have coded, I believe, the first 4 pages.
Yay.
So it's going to be a little while. So I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to. It's like the thing with Pizza Boy, right? It feels weird to talk about something that I know is so far away. I don't want to build it up too much too early. The inventory system's really cool, and it's something that we could probably use for future games as well. Like now that I sort of have it figured out, it would probably copy over pretty well to another game.
Yeah, we kind of toyed with that idea, I suppose, with the Oregon City Gold, but
yeah,
I don't think we use items enough. Our character picks up items and carries them around, but basically what the game does is has it via menu, so it's like, okay, you can use item 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, you can use the penny, you can use the toilet plunger, and such.
Yeah, and that works totally fine. As you said, there's only so many times you need to use items in the game, so it might not have been worthwhile to get the inventory system up and running for that. Because, I mean, it did take me, like, a week to get this totally functional. So anyway, that's why I'm saying don't worry too much about getting our next project lined up, because I'm happy tootling around on this game in the meantime. So take care of whatever you need to take care of.
Yeah, well, I've got 2 things on my, like, overall to-do list, and then I have 3 more of the video game, like, writing things or testing things or whatnot, so...
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, maybe next month we'll get to the next stop. Yeah, okay.
Should we answer these listener questions?
We have listener questions, sure, tell me them.
We have 2 of them. All right, this one we sort of talked about already, so this should be quick. Timothy Mark, our friend Timothy on Discord, asks, What was behind the choice to port Pizza Boy to console over your other games? And I can happily and easily answer that one in saying that it's the game the publisher wanted. I had previously pitched the Cat President games, but they were more interested in Pizza Boy, so that's the one we went with. That's pretty much the beginning and end of it.
Hmm.
Timothy also had another question for us, and I think this one might be geared more towards you, Michael. When you take photos inside businesses / in public, how do you go about securing permission? I want to make something using real photos, but I'm not sure how to go about that aspect. And I say you would be good to answer this, Michael, because I know you were doing that, you know, as you were working on or the Oregon City Gold, you were getting in touch with like the Oregon City, what, like historical department or Parks and Rec or whoever,
yeah,
to
Parks and
specifically
Rec.
To get permission for all.
So
yeah.
Parks and Rec gave me blanket permission for like all the sites that they own / operate. And I believe there's one location in the game that doesn't belong to the city. But the Ermatinger House, I had to contact them specifically. I was told they're the ones that get to decide anything that happens on their particular property. There's even like an empty lot in the game, which the city of Oregon City owns. So that feels kind of silly,
oh,
but I had to double check that the city does in fact own that empty lot, because it's been empty for such a long time that I guess nobody owns it anymore. But yeah.
Yeah, so this was like were you just like emailing people, or were you actually talking to people on the phone?
I think it was just email, because it would have been during the pandemic. Yeah. I know I went and visited like the Parks and Recs headquarters, but nobody was there, which is fine because their headquarters was at the cemetery, so I took pictures at the cemetery.
There is a specific coffee chain that we did not get permission to use.
Very sad. Yeah.
Yeah, we had some good jokes with them too, and it was all good things. We were saying only good things about them, but they were it seemed like they were supportive of the game, but they couldn't sign off on us using their name and likeness in the game.
Yeah, I'd ask too late, I suppose. I guess if I'd asked like a year or 6 months earlier, it might have been fine. Mm-hmm. But I think they went public, which makes it just a hassle.
Yeah, that's something I keep thinking about with my game too. I have a few spots where I just kind of have like in the script design document, whatever you want to call it, just sort of a big chunk that just says secure the rights before you actually start to write this scene. Because there's a lot of spots where I'm like, well, I know there's no point in designing a puzzle for this museum if the people who run the museum aren't going to allow me to use the museum in the game. But it's like, it's such a weird thing, because I don't want to ask too soon, because then I'm afraid, like, I don't know, it just seems weird to me to get permission to do something to release in a game, like, 4 years later, you know?
I'm kind of
saving that till I have to, I guess. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to take over the answer there.
No, yours makes perfect sense. I basically, like I said, I got like blanket permission from Parks and Rec, and that pretty much limited where I wanted to take pictures. So it was like, okay, well, I don't really want to ask anybody else, so let's just take pictures on as much Parks and Rec property as possible.
Well, you were able to get a ton of locations out of it. I mean, there's a lot of places you get to visit and explore in this game. So seems like that blanket permission got you pretty far. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I did when finding sites for the game, too, is I just checked on their website what are the places they have. I think some of the places closed, like the Rose Farm, I believe. The Rose Farm Museum is now completely closed, which we visit in the game.
Oops.
Yeah. Ooh, it's been updated from permanently closed to temporarily closed.
Hey.
I like that. Maybe it's coming back.
Maybe there will be a renewed interest in it after our game comes out.
Yeah.
Gosh, do you think we're going to have people like going to these places in real life? Do you remember Cat President 2, there's like this random library that shows up in the game, and then after somebody streamed it, we got a picture from someone who was watching the stream because they went to the library and took a picture there. I wonder, it would be so cool if we got that kind of thing for Oregon City Gold. That would make me so happy. I love when that happens.
Everybody goes to Four Seasons after playing Cat President 2.
I want to see people taking a selfie with the two cows, not cows, whatever they were.
Oxen, yes, the oxen at oxen, the end oxen. Of the Oregon Trail National, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to see selfies with them. Oh, that would be cool. All right, I think that's it for questions. And I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefumph, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, and at least one of them on consoles now. Uh-oh, am I going to have to update my outro? Oh, geez.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I didn't even think of that. or you could just visit orock.com for the complete library, although, again, the console game is not mentioned on there, so that's something I need to update.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, my whole system is falling apart. Oh no, oh no. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything you would like to add, Michael?
Thanks for the nice feedback. I don't know. It, like Victoria said, she got a bunch of nice feedback. So I'm wondering where she got that from. I guess maybe it's on Twitch.
Why aren't they telling us?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, yeah.
It could be on Twitch.
I mean, they could give the nice feedback to her. That's fine. She's like the more interesting main character.
Yeah, between the three of us, she's the more interesting in general.
Oh, we forgot to mention the game is rated... It's rated T for teen. Yeah, I was surprised by that.
It's true, and yeah, that was a funny thing. I had to fill out a survey for any, I don't want to say adult content, but I guess for the game's content in general, and we got dinged because there's like one scene, one bad ending where the main character gets killed, and there's talk about all this blood, and then how your blood is mixing with the blood of your future self. And I think it's like basically that scene by itself gave us the teen rating.
Yeah, I remember because I think in the original script I left a comment like, "Is this too gory? Is this too wrong?" And you're like, "No, it's fine, it's fine."
Yeah. And now kiddos won't be able to play our game.
Yeah, we should have rewritten that ending, so...
Yeah, maybe we should have... I'm trying to remember if there was anything else, too. I guess there's also a building explodes at one point. That might also be considered a violent act, and that would have been a lot harder to edit out of the game, so...
Yeah, that would have been super impossible to... maybe not super impossible.
Well, it would have involved some more rewrites and script changes there.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's T for teen because of violence, blood, and crude humor. What?
Crude humor.
Are there, like, fart jokes or something in this? Come on.
God, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I must have marked down something for that. Yeah.
Yeah, there is kidnapping at one point.
Yeah. That's true. There is also kidnapping.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, was it the guy on 12th Avenue who answers the door wearing nothing but a smile? That was it. That joke. Crude humor.
That's what we get. Yeah, I mean, same thing could theoretically happen to Oregon City Gold, too. There's like a couple moments where bad stuff can happen, and that's the sort of thing that could bump us up there, too. Who knows?
The bad endings. Yeah, yeah.
Parents, hide your kids. The pizza boy's coming to town.
That was something right, which happened to me in real life like three times. There were people who do not answer the door fully clothed.
Three? It was like three different people?
Yes. The one lady did it all the time, though. So, I mean, she just wore a giant shirt. One of those large, like, sports shirts every single time. But It was like her boyfriend or something who ordered the pizzas for her or whatever. I think she's probably working from home, maybe. I don't know.
If I recall, that was the original inspiration for Finley's character.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of exploring why this person is always dressed like this. Which, of course, ended up getting cut from
her
character.
It was always interesting. Yeah, why somebody would be ordering pizza every single week, too, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but definitely there was the guy who just didn't bother to put on a shirt or pants when answering the door.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. And then there was the one person who was, she just come out of the bathtub. I don't know why you would like be taking a bath or a shower immediately after ordering a pizza. I guess she thought the pizza delivery boy would be way, way later.
Man, taking a bath and eating pizza sounds pretty nice, though.
That actually does, yeah.
Maybe set up a tablet somewhere, watch some of that John Cena show. That sounds great.
Yes.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. The story will be told. Go!
When we just got to make a full-fledged pizza dating sim. How about the pizza delivery boy who saved my heart?
Oh, my.